So there is no Parsha this week. So how do you give a Parsha shiur with no Parsha? I guess we'll have to speak about the topic of the day. That is Rosh Hashanah. We will, Be'ezras Hashem, be leading Parshas Hazinu, Shabbos Shuva. And this year, we know Rosh Hashanah is this coming Shabbos and Sunday. And there are so many halachos to explore. And I thought it would be appropriate to just go through, you know, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and try to speak about many of the halachos. That being said, I think for this crowd in particular, you don't need that refresher course. I was just going to give one shout out to a halacha that is under the radar. And there is a minhag brought down in Shulchan Aruch to fast, to not eat on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And it's not so popular. And you can understand why it's not so popular. People like to eat breakfast. And in our generation, we're just not good at fasting. And if it would detract from your experience of Rosh Hashanah, I wouldn't necessarily even recommend doing it. You know, obviously, depending on your age, or if you have to work in a mask and you're fasting, forget about it. That being said, I do try to fast until Chatzos on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Bli Nether usually, and it's a nice thing. So in addition to like the more famous things like Hatara Sandarim, going to the mikvah, which this year, you know, will be accomplished mainly in the shower, the mikvah is being closed, but, you know, for men. But I thought at least to give a shout out to that halacha. And I think Rosh Hashanah, more or less, you know, I think people know the deal. If anyone has any questions, you want to run by me, you know, I'm happy to address them. But I thought it would be a little bit more meaningful this evening to talk about something that can give us a perspective on Rosh Hashanah and a perspective on the coming year. And sometimes when you have a shiur like this, it will actually give you a headset and a frame of mind to actually influence all of the year. In the same way that a movie is good, but with background music that fits the moment, it's just that much more dramatic and that much more impactful. So too, the shiurim that are given this time of year are really meant to go to the core of the personality, to really channel the energies inside of us, to maximize our time. You know, this is a playoff baseball season, so to speak, even though technically this year playoff baseball starts a little bit later. And the idea is that we want to be on our A game, and I hope this evening shiur can promote growth and inspire us, again, not only during Rosh Hashanah, but give us a theme to really run with throughout the entire year. And we're going to call it the theme of the year, embracing responsibilities. I'm not finalized on that topic name, but I was going to also call it the tshuva of not cutting corners. The tshuva of not cutting corners. Why? By nature, we're lazy, right? The Mesilas Yesharim says this explicitly, and you don't necessarily need such scientific evidence to prove that man by nature enjoys Netflix, man by nature enjoys a good meal, a good couch, and if you could summarize the American dream, it's called NFL on a couch with a big, you know, bag of chips on a Sunday afternoon. And we've all been there, and the couch with the chips, it's geschmack. And we understand that it's great to kind of dodge responsibilities. There's nothing like getting a snow day from school. And who wouldn't want to be off from responsibilities? That being said, we're put in the world not to watch football. Not that you can't watch football. Of course, comfortable couches are wonderful, but there's more to it, so to speak. So says the Shulchan Aruch, our first halach of the evening, Or HaChaim, Rosh Hashanah, Siman Tav Reish Gimel. Only one sif in that siman. Af mi she'enu nizar mi pas shel kutim. Even if you're not normally a machmer, you only eat pas Yisrael, which means you'd go to any kosher Thomas Bagels bag in the shop, right? You'll eat Entenmann's cookies. You'll eat Dunkin' Donuts, right? It's called normal. As long as that is an OU, it's okay. Now, basere simei tshuva tzarech liyizayir. We have a new halacha coming up. Starting on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Seres Yimei Tshuva, we know. And there's a concept of being machmir for Pas Yisrael, which would mean if you want pretzels, whoa, slow down. Are they Pas Yisrael? If you want bread, you have a sandwich at work, slow down. Is a Pas Yisrael bread? And all of a sudden, the Torah is getting in my face. I always have a sandwich for lunch, personally. Fryhofer's bread. It's very kosher. It's got a chavka in it. But not kosher enough for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And that's where Zadie's Bakery comes into play. That's why my wife said, should I pick up some rye bread from Zadie's? Now, Zadie's is not necessarily known for the rye bread, but it is geschmack, should be noted. The Ramah adds, the yesh l'chol adam l'chapesu l'pashpesh ma'asav. Someone should do introspection to calculate their actions of Aseres Yimei Tshuva and to do tshuva from their averos. Here's a kicker. The suffik avera tzarich yoser tshuva be'avera vadai. If one definitely did an avera, that's not so bad. If one is not sure, if one is in doubt whether or not they did an avera, that's even worse. Why? Ki yoser mitcharet kisheyodeh she'asav li she'ene yodeh. Meaning, if you know you sinned, okay, so you did that bad thing, so you did tshuva, you regret it, you feel guilty. But if you're not sure if you sinned, then you're not going to feel guilty. You're not going to do tshuva properly. That's why it's even more dangerous. What's the example of this in the Torah itself? L'chein korban asham toloi. The korban asham toloi, which means you're not sure, you're in suspense, you're not exactly positive whether or not you violated the iser kares, that's actually a more valuable korban. Hutzrich liyos yoser biyoker mechatas. A regular korban chatas is straightforward. You sinned, you bring a fat cow, you're good. That being said, if you're not sure if you brought the if you did the sin, that's even worse. Yee. Okay. So what the Shulchan Aruch is all of a sudden getting us to think in lines of is stepping up a notch. Stepping up. Right? If Fry offers bread or Dunkin' Donuts muffins are kosher, why they're not kosher enough at Hiseres Yimei Tshuva? Now, by the way, if the only food you have is not pasur, you don't have to be more machmir than anyone who normally is machmir. So if I'm normally machmir all year round, which I'm not, on pas Yisrael, but if it's the only food available and I can't really find any other food, I'm allowed to eat non-pas Yisrael. So you don't have to be more machmir than the person who is machmir. So if I'm machmir all year round, I set the tone. And even in my situation, I would not eat pas Yisrael if it's the only food available. So you don't have to go crazy. That being said, it's a beautiful chumrah. And the Ramah said you have to watch out. There are things that we did that are wrong, and we have to stop doing it. And the halacha is asking you to kind of step it up a notch, right? And the Chaye Adam actually brings that up even another notch. The Chaye Adam, right, famous posik before the Mishnah Berurah, is a little bit more famous. And he writes as follows. He follows a very classical work on the Rosh Hashanah. He goes through the Vidui very extensively. This is in Chelek Bet Gimel, Klam Kuf Mem Gimel. Right, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch basically that you should take on extra stringencies. And the Seres made tshuva af she'eno nizar b'hem kol hashana, even though it's just for 10 days. Ki gam Hakadosh Baruch Hu misnoy b'chasidus imbriosav. Meaning, Hashem is machmir for you, so to speak. What does that mean that Hashem is machmir for you? Well, He goes out of His way to get you out of the binding. The bind that you might be in, you might deserve a punishment, and He'll go out of His way, bend over backwards, so to speak, to get you off the hook. So you should kind of work a little harder to work for Him. If normally you rely on the heter known as paspalter, right, a non-Jewish baker, that's mutter. Right, that's all repetitive from the Shulchan Aruch, but here's where he adds, v'chein b'chol hadvarim. Meaning when the Shulchan Aruch said, be machmir in Pas Yisrael, that was just an example. The Chaye Adam now extends that halacha to say, be machmir wherever you can be machmir. Which means if normally you daven marv without a minion, you want to be machmir to daven marv with a minion. You know, normally you don't do certain things that are, less than obligatory. Well, the Seres Yimei Tshuva, take on these new things, even if they're chumras. I don't know, Chalav Yisrael. You only want to eat yashan. I think it's pretty easy to do that nowadays. I don't know if there is any yashan issue actually even yet. I think everything we eat now probably is yashan anyway. But the Chaye Adam then adds beautifully, v'yoser tzarech adam l'takin v'dvarm shebein adam l'chaveiro. If you want to add a chumrah, be machmer bein adam l'chaveiro, maybe add in tzedaka, or who knows what. But be machmer bein adam l'chaveiro, because we know Yom Kippur doesn't get you out of that one. So beautifully, the halacha is telling us again to add a chumrah. And although a chumrah is generally taken upon with extreme caution, you don't want to take on a chumrah that will ruin you. Chumrahs can be very dangerous. But this is the time of year to show Hashem what you're made of, right? Normally playoff baseball is most intense, but you can't sustain that all year. For example, everyone plays injured in the playoffs, right? If you're a hockey player especially, everyone by the Stanley Cup is injured. It's just a question of who's going to skate faster despite their injuries, right? But you can't play that way the whole year, right? You need to take a day off. You need to, specifically tell your coach when you're injured. You don't play injured. That's not healthy. But in the Stanley Cup Finals, and if it's the championship, it's the World Series, you push yourself to the max. And that is all part of the Avoda of Rosh Hashanah, known as being Mamlech Hashem. We know that the goal of Rosh Hashanah is to declare that Hashem is our king. And what better way to declare Hashem, you are my king, and therefore I'm going to go above and beyond for you. I'm going to go above and beyond for you. I'm going to take on a chumrah. Now, where do we see that this is the message of the day? Now, we know there are more obvious ones because we say HaMelech HaKadosh, we sit the Shemar Esrei starting this Friday night. But there's a good old Mishnah, Meseches Rosh Hashanah. How do we blow shofar? Say there are brachos. Well, we say the first three, you know, Avos, Gevuras, and Kedushas Hashem, right? That's HaMelech HaKadosh this time of year. Here it is. V'kolel Malchios in the third bracha, according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri that we're quoting right now. You say Melech. You say Melech, right? Melech HaKadosh, good. However, who disagrees? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no. That's not what you do. Rabbi Akiva says, you messed it up. Well, then we're not going to read all of it. Ela Omer Avos, you say the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, right? You say the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Gvuros, right? Atai Gibor, Mechai Mason. You finish the third bracha, and then you go on. V'kolel Malchios im Kedushos Hayom. We speak about the concept that Hashem is the Melech when we speak about the Kedushas Hayom. We know the famous bracha, Melech HaKol HaRetz Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. Hashem is number one, the Melech, and number two, he's Mekadesh Yisrael or Mekadesh Yom HaZikaron. And all of the Achronim, Rav Soloveitchik, and everyone else, they all explain what this halacha is telling you is that intrinsically found in the DNA, in the identity of Rosh Hashanah, in the Kedushas Hayom, is found the concept of being Mamlech Hashem, which means as follows. Normally, there's a Kedushas Hayom, and the mitzvahs are independent, right? You know, shaking a lulav is beautiful, but you can have sukkahs without a lulav, right? It's sukkahs regardless of whether you shook the lulav or not, right? You still can, you know, keep sukkahs, okay? You don't have a lulav, what can you do? You're ones, you're anus. But on Rosh Hashanah, in the DNA, in the blood, in the definition of Rosh Hashanah, in the Kedushas Hayom is the Avod of B'mamlech Hashem, which means you need to declare that Hashem is the king on Rosh Hashanah. And certainly we use the shofar to do that. You know, one of the many reasons given, what is it, Rav Sajagon or Rav Haigon, that they list all these reasons, 13 reasons or so that, I think it's Rav Haigon, and one of them is that when they anoint a king, they blow the shofar. So on Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar to be Mamlech Hashem. And it's in the Kedushas Hayom. So what is our job? What does that mean? So we say, okay, Hashem, you're the king, right? Hashem, you're the king. Shkoyach. Obviously, Hashem does not need to be told that he's the king. You go up to Hashem and Rosh Hashanah and say, yep, Hashem, you're Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaKol HaArtz, Nekadosh, Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. Shkoyach. No. The obvious response needs to be that if I'm the king, so what are you doing for me? What are you doing for me? If I'm the king, you should be paying taxes. If I'm the king, you should be paying up. You should be obeying my service. I'll tell you an example. When I was a sixth grade boy, it might have been eighth grade. I had the same Rebbe in sixth and eighth grade boy. But in Yeshiva HaTorah, I had Rebbe Tuvia Fried from Far Rockaway. Yeshiva HaTorah is a wonderful elementary school and middle school in the Queens area, officially, I think, Little Neck. And the assignment I was given was, imagine you had a king today. How would you view Judaism differently? You know, imagine if David HaMelech was alive today. So boys wrote different answers, whatever. I remember writing that I would be petrified. Whatever the king would do, I would just say, I would just be nervous. Like if there's a king, you don't mess with the king. And Rabbi Fried was actually not all impressed with, I got a check instead of a check plus. I was very insulted. You know, my sixth grade rigor. So I remember a lot of my friends said I would give presents to the king. I would want to visit the king. And it was all coming from Ahava. And Rabbi Fried gave him a check plus. And I wrote, I would be petrified coming from a place of Yira. And Rabbi Fried said, it's only a check and not a check plus. But at the same time, you know, that I have, you know, now that maybe I'm a bar plukta with Rav Tuvia Fried, now that I have my own smicha degree, you know, dare I say I would have given myself a check plus, you know. Why? Because if there's a king, you got to listen. The king gives a command, you should be shaking in your boots. You should be shaking in your boots. You know, I'll tell you, just while we're on the topic of shaking in your boots, because I don't normally speak like that. Where did I get the term shaking in your boots from? Despite the fact that I was born in 1989 and that's not how people speak anymore. The Rabbi Yosef Adler, Rosh Yeshiva of TABC, he once was a Rebbe in Frisch many, many years ago. And
he was my Rebbe in
Frisch. Wow, Dr. Karp, a highly religious man. Wow, very good. I have to give it a shout out every day. Every week I have to give that news, the one. One shout out per shear. Very good, Dr. Karp. So I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me that. So apparently the Rav Zatzal walked into his shear. The Rav used to visit the community that he built up, whether Maimonides or the modern Orthodox community in the New York area, in Tri-State area. And Rav Adler said to us, he told us the story that he was shaking in his boots, shaking in his pants. He said, the Rav listened to my high school shear. And the Rav was listening to Rav Adler explain a shear that he gave. And everything that Rabbi Adler teaches is from the Rav. So after the shear of Soloveitchik, that's how I came up to Rabbi Adler and said, sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. So that means Rabbi Adler did a good job. So, but the point is that if you're in the presence of greatness like Rav Soloveitchik, you should be petrified, right? Rabbi Yosef Adler was petrified. I'm giving shear in front of the Rav. That's scary stuff. Scary stuff. And therefore, when we're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, lahavdil, so the idea is that it should have an impact on the way we feel, the way we act. And the paradigm of this is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Mamlech Hashem. And what's the idea? We know that that we're going to see a bunch of examples right now that the secret hero of Rosh Hashanah is Avraham Avinu, namely V'holchin El Hanar Lomar Pasuk V'tashes V'msulos Yam Kochotos. Etc. Right, so that we know the minhag of tashlich is done generally. I think we don't do it on Shabbos for Erevin purposes. I don't know. I'm not saying it's usher to do it on Shabbos, but the minhag, if I'm not mistaken, is still not to do it on Shabbos despite our Erev system. And I generally do it after Rosh Hashanah personally, but many people do it on Rosh Hashanah if it's meaningful, especially. And what's the deal with saying this pasuk of throwing things? We know we're throwing our sins into the water. Ideally there should be fish. The Mishnah Berurah says about the Midrash, She'avar Avram Avinu ad Tzavaro, Avram walked in until his neck, b'mayim, there was water up until his neck, kishehalach la'akrivo, to bring Yitzchak agave and Mizbeach. Meaning, we are trying to emulate Akedah's Yitzchak, v'anu osin zecher la'akedah. Right? Generally, we don't associate Tashlech with Akedah's Yitzchak. Yet the Mishnah Berurah, again, among other answers, explains that Tashlich is Zechel Akeda. But what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Because you throw some bread, or you don't throw bread, I don't know, that's not actually really part of the mitzvah, especially on Yom Tov, do not throw bread to fish. We don't feed animals, we don't feed birds, fish on Yom Tov. So I think the bread thing generally stops. I don't think that's as famous. When I was growing up, it was very common to throw bread in the water. Don't do that. So the Ramah is saying you just do Tashlich, and the Mishnah Berurah is giving you a whole other idea. The whole other picture. And it's saying that we're emulating Avraham because the water got in his way and he didn't let the water get in his way. So it's an interesting idea because Tashlich doesn't really represent that. So seemingly, B'derech Drush, you could say that you're not letting your sins get in the way. Don't let your sins define you. Maybe something along those lines. But just the very presence of walking to water reminds Hashem, so to speak, that Avram walked through neck-high deep water to do the Ratzon Hashem. And so do we. We walk to water to do the Ratzon Hashem. And that represents the fact that Hashem, whatever you do, I'm going to say. And that's the perspective we need to have. Hashem's the king. He says, jump, you say, how high? And again, we know another example of Avram Avinu finding himself into the Rosh Hashanah day is the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, mitzvah so b'shel ayal v'kafuf. What animal should you choose? Now again, we're not saying you have to choose an ayal, but ideally you should choose a ram's horn, and it should be bent. It should not be straight, ideally. Mishnah Berurah explains why. Zlezecher Akedas Yitzchak. We know that Akedas Yitzchak, there was an ayal that was brought in place of Yitzchak. Ubiklalzen, Adam might be knowing these as a Baal Torkeim. Kivsa Nekeva, you could also bring a female ram, right, as opposed to a male. But the Mahadrin Biyoser, what's ideal, what's preferable, is Nagin Lachzor Acher Shel Ayal. The male ram is the better one, Davka to Zecher Tfei LaAyal Shel Yitzchak, because that's a better representation, a reenactment, basically, of what actually happened in Akedah Yitzchak, which is fascinating, because even the shofar, we're blowing, and we're choosing the horn that most easily represents the act of Akedas Yitzchak again. And another example, Biyom Sheni, what do we do? What do we lay on Rosh Hashanah? V'korim Meva Elokim Nisas Avraham Atzov Sidra, right? The Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah is Akedas Yitzhak, and explains the Mishnah Berurah Kedei Lahazkir Zchus Akedas Yitzhak. Again and again, we want Akedas Yitzhak to be on our minds, and we even say in Zichronos in the Shemona Esrei, V'Akedas Yitzhak Hayom Lezaro Tizkor. Kach Yanuscha before Zemes, the Shulchan Aruch is coming to combat a faulty Girsa. The one we should have in the Machzor is V'Akedas Yitzhak Hayom Lezaro Tizkor. We want to use one of the Zichronos of Akedas Yitzchak Hashem. The memory of Akedas Yitzchak should serve as a merit for our people. And the question is, come on, what is the deal? Right? Rosh Hashanah is a day where we blow the shofar, dip the apple in the honey. Okay, a shul, you know, ideally should not move past 1 p.m. You get home, you have a nice meal, do the tasha thing. You know, where is Avraham Avinu, right? You know, all the colloquial memories of Rosh Hashanah, I'm not thinking of Avram too much, but if you would take just a basic look at the halacha, we are filled with Avram Avinu, and specifically Akedas Yitzchak, again, the Tashlich, the Shofar, the Kriyas HaTorah, and it's one of the Zichronos. And there's no question that Avram represents being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Avram did was that he said, okay, Hashem, whatever you say, I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. So I'm going to give you the episode in the Chumash of Akedas Yitzchak, and we'll just learn a midrash in another halacha, just to kind of hammer on the point, and it's as follows. We know the Torah says, Vayomer Avram Elokim Yirelo, we know what, Yirelo Haseh Laola Bini Vayelchu Shneim Yachtav. Right, Avram responded to Yitzchak after Yitzchak asked Avram, Dad, where is the animal, etc. I don't see an animal. And Avram explained, well, Hashem might show us an animal, or i.e. you are the korban. And the Torah testifies, Vayelchu shneihem yachtav. They both went together. Now, you could say that means Avram and Yitzchak went together. The basic pshat in Rashi, there are other pshatim, is that Avram shayodeya sheholich lishchot es beno, Avram who knew that he was going to shecht his son, hayaholich biratzon v'simcha, ki Yitzchak shelo haya margish bedavar. Avram was just as happy as Yitzchak. Well, Yitzchak was supposed to be happy. He had no idea what was flying. And Avram, who did very well know that he was on the way to shecht his son, was just as happy as Yitzchak. You could argue against that pshat and Rashi that Yitzchak kind of got the hint, and they were still both besimcha. So just to give Yitzchak a little credit, after all, he was the one who was willing to get shechted. And Yitzchak and Avram are both ready to be mamlech Hashem. If this is what Hashem wants, then let's do it. Pasuk Beis, the most dramatic episode. Avram is about to shecht his son, and Vayomer al tishloch yadcha lanar. We know the Malach crawls out and calls out, al taslach olo mumak yata yadati kari lekim ata v'luchasach des binuchai sechitcha mi meni. And what does Rashi say when the Malach goes out? Al tishloch, don't send your hand forth lishchot. Amar lo, what's Avram's response? Im kain lechina basi lekan. What, I came here for no reason. Right, Alvin? Avram was disappointed. I came here to kill Yitzchak, and I'm not allowed to. Hashem, you tricked me. I was supposed to do a mitzvah. Where's my mitzvah? What does he say? Wild idea. Eselo chabala. Let me at least inflict a wound into him. Ve'otzi mimenu ma'adam. Right? This is what we call a European Rashi, not an American Rashi, right? And I didn't give you some of the other mefarshim. You want to look up the Marshal and the Sizer Chachamim on this Rashi. It's almost too European to quote. But Ayin Sham, if you want to get some geshmak European musr. So the idea was is that Avram said, Hashem, let me at least inflict a wound to give a little blood. And Amarlo, no, 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 no. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't touch the boy. Don't touch the boy. And this is the idea. This is the idea. That when we learn about Akedas Yitzchak, we're speaking about a madrega where we're looking to take on responsibilities. Right? How do we start the shir? By saying that the halacha tasks us with taking on chumras. You want to get off the hook? You want to watch NFL on a Sunday afternoon and Mincha Marv gets in the way? No, 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 no. Try to be a little bit more machmir. And Avraham Avinu embodies this Mesorah, where he says, Hashem, you're telling me not to do something. I want to do it. I, Dafka, want to take on an obligation. You're telling me not to send my hand forth. I want to send my hand forth. I would want nothing more. You told me to do something, please. And now we understand why Hashem gave him an ayal. Why was that not enough? Right? Why was it not enough for Avram just to be told, your son can live? That's a pretty good deal, right? You thought your son was going to die, And now you what? You don't have to kill him. No, that was not enough. Because Avram's going to say, where's my mitzvah? Where's my korban? I want to do something. I'm not looking to get off the hook. I want to produce. I want to be able to say that I gave to you, Hashem. So Hashem needs to give him an ayal. Without the korban, Avram is let down, so to speak. And we know, again, famously, Avram Avinu was disappointed when he could not be machnas orchim, despite the fact that he was in pain after his bris milah. Hashem didn't want him to have any guests. Hashem made it extra hot outside, and Avram said, no, it pains me more to not have guests. And Hashem therefore needed to provide him with a mitzvah. And our perspective needs to be the opposite of America. You know, I would say one of the biggest issues we've suffered from COVID-19 on a spiritual level is that people got very comfortable not going to work. People got very comfortable not getting dressed in work attire. You know, students got a little bit too comfortable wearing their pajamas. And shul became, you know, a distant memory of the past. And, you know, it's amazing to see how hard it is to get out the door after 6 months. I know in my own personal little mini version of this in TABC, so some days I'm only on Zoom right now. So if I'm only on Zoom, so, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air by nature. Oh, I don't have to go in today. And that's a very normal response, right? You get to stay in the comfort of your own home. You better have to put on a tie. And the halacha is telling you, no. This is the time of year not to take off, but to take on. We're looking to add on layers. We're looking to embrace responsibility, and that's represented by this halacha of taking on a chumrah. I want to just conclude by saying that it's not only the Aseres Tshuva. Granted, you can eat a Thomas's bagel that's kosher all year round. You don't have to be machmir not to eat Dunkin' Donuts. We can rely on the heter known as pas palter. But there is something we should take on all day. The Akedas Yitzchak does make its way into the daily routine. I'm not talking about reciting the Akedah. I know Dr. Karp is stark on reciting the Akedah. And Adam, if you want to say it, you could say it as long as you start earlier than 8:15 on Shabbos morning. So we finish. We'll talk about, you know, good politics. We'll talk about it when we get back to shul. Good. You know, old memories of the year. So here, what does it say in the Mishnah of Maseches Tamid? Lo hayukovsin es atle ele ma'akidin oso. This is Maseches Tamid, a Mishnah. When they would tie the lamb every morning in the Beis Hamikdash, they would not hold it down by all four limbs tied together. They wouldn't tie two in the back to two in the front. They would not tie all four limbs together. Ele ma'akidin oso. They would bind it. What in the world does that mean? So the Gemara explains, Tana, Yad v'regel, meaning the right foreleg with the back hind leg, and the same on the left side, Ka'akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. Meaning the way the lamb was bound in the Beis Hamikdash every single day when they would bring the morning Korban Tamid was representative of Akedas Yitzchak. And what that means is that the daily service in the Beis Hamikdash was reminiscent of Akedas Yitzchak. And so too our daily routine, I would argue, needs to have a dose of Akedas Yitzchak in it. Now, granted, we might not be able to be machmir on certain things all year. That's why we do a Taras and Dharma on Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's what we say, Kol Nidre, on Erev Yom Kippur. We can't live up to the standards that we try to. But there needs to be a dose of Akedas Yitzchak in our Korban Tamid, so to speak. And in the same way in the Beis Hamikdash, we have a representation. So too in our daily Tamid, we need to take inspiration from Avram, from Yitzchak Avinu, who were looking not to run away from Hashem, but looking to add on. It's an amazing madrega to strive for, and I need to be back in a TABC meeting in less than 60 seconds. But I will tell you that Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel once told me a story where he said that Avram's Akedah was not a hard test because it was. He said that Akedah Yitzchak was a spiritual test, not a physical test, because physical tests are not hard. And he said that with Parkinson's disease. He said, right, if you have a physical test, that's easy. Ooh, Rebessensi's fee. He taught us how to take on obligations. I'm sorry if that story was vague. I could tell it another time. All right, I got to run. Everyone have a wonderful evening, okay? All the best. Thank you for coming. All the best, my friends. Shavua Tov.